The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and Wynn Carpenter. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. This is Jefferson State of Mind. We're broadcasting live in Redding, California. We're also broadcasting on 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, we think. Anyway.
And I'm putting in a plug here for tourism. If you want to get out of this fog, go up to the Intermountain area, Bernie. Go see the falls. It's clear. It's sunny. It's in the 50s during the daytime. It's beautiful. No fog.
And Janet's serving hot chocolate at her house.
I will do that if you come up. Give me a call.
If you bring M&Ms. Only if you bring M&Ms.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're your talk radio. You also can hear us on KCNR1460.com. Listen live at KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Today we're going to talk about the governorship of California, and Janet's done some great research for us, and we're going to discuss this and what the powers of the governor actually is and what they say. Can they do what they say they're going to do, and do they have jurisdiction for that? So, Janet, here you go, my dear.
Well, first of all, who's in, who's out, who's thinking about it, who has declared and dropped out, all kinds of stuff going on. And it's early. It's 6 months until the primary, so a lot can happen. But in the meantime, a lot of people are interested in being governor, and some people are not. And Kamala Harris, who everybody just assumed was going to run for governor of California, she's not running, so we don't have to worry about that.
Well, how long, what's the drop-dead deadline for them to register to be on the ballot?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
You're asking questions I can't answer.
Sorry. No, I just thought.
Well, nor do I care.
Exactly. Maybe you should at the last second.
You said people have dropped out. I mean, I've seen 15 of them. Have you had anybody that actually dropped out yet?
Yes.
Who did? On the Democrat side.
Yeah.
Oh, how about the Republican side?
I have not heard of anybody dropping out on the Republican side. Okay. And today is, excuse me, totally nonpartisan. I'm not talking about just Republican candidates or Democrat, both, everybody.
Right.
Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis has dropped out, so she is not running. Former State Senator Leader Tony Atkins has dropped out, and businessman Stephen L. Klubeck has dropped out. So there are still plenty of Democrats, plenty of Republicans, and we are not going to cover every single name, but some of those who are just kind of floating to the top and you would know about. Declared candidates. Javier Becerra, shocker. Can't imagine that he would be running for governor.
Yeah.
He's such a non-political person.
Right.
He is a Democrat. He was, under the Biden administration, the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services.
And how'd that go?
Yeah, it went so well. And he was California Attorney General, who sued the Trump administration roughly 120 times.
And how'd that go?
You're right. Yes. No shocker there. In fact, I believe when Mark Baird instituted his lawsuit, it was Baird versus Becerra. Was it not?
Bonta.
No, it was Baird versus Becerra when he first filed it.
Because That's right.
Javier was our attorney general.
Attorney general, yes.
And when he went to become our senator, no, when he went to D.C. to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services, then Bonta
had to get
Attorney
named.
General.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
So he's from Sacramento, son of Mexican immigrants, a Democrat, worked for legal aid in Massachusetts, worked for Senator Art Torres in the California legislature. He's been around a long time. He has a lot of experience in governing, if it's the sort of governing that you are interested in.
Yeah, but not well. Right.
Yes. Unfortunate. Oh. He has said that his administration's top accomplishment, quote, was getting 700 million COVID vaccination shots into the arms of Americans.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So.
How'd that fare out?
Yeah, if you were forced to take a shot, you have Mr. Becerra to thank. Recently, there was a scandal not involving him personally, but his former chief deputy, Sean McCluskey, and a couple of other people were indicted on allegations of campaign account irregularities.
Shocker.
Yeah, but he has not been accused of any wrongdoing. So that's probably the top Democrat in the lead. But 6 months out, anything could happen. Depending on which poll you look at, perhaps the top Republican right now is Chad Bianco.
Okay.
Republican, Riverside County Sheriff. He did endorse Donald Trump for president. And he playfully said, I mean, Republicans joke. We still find humor in life. We can say things that we think are funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad Bianco said, it's time we put a felon in the White House, jokingly about Trump. And, of course, the Democrats get very upset because, to quote a line from a movie said by Tommy Lee Jones, we in the FBI do not have any sense of humor of which we are aware. And that could be a line from, that's Men in Black. And that could be a line for the Democrats. We do not have a sense of humor about which we are aware. And if we do, then we wish to apologize for it. Bianco did support Proposition 36, which reversed the criminality.
Apparently we haven't given any money to that yet, though.
Well, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that, Cheon, who's running for governor, that's one of the first things he's going to do is, would want to do, and that is use his jurisdiction to make sure that money went to where it's supposed to go.
Well, therein lies one of the powers of the governor.
Yep, exactly.
His executive power. He can just say, well, yes, not going to do it.
Well, he can say, yes, you have to fulfill what you were going to do, because that's my job to make sure you fulfill it, especially when it comes to money. And that's what he's doing, or what he says he's going to do.
But there was under Jerry Brown, there was a lawsuit instituted by a group of people in California, and they won the lawsuit, and the money was sent to the state of California to be distributed amongst the people who had won this lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And they waited and waited and waited for their money.
Mm-hmm.
And it never came. And they finally got to Jerry Brown and said, where is our money? And he said, oh, we spent it on other things.
Mm-hmm.
They said, but it's our money from the lawsuit. We want it. And he said, too bad, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way to force him to pay that money.
Mm-hmm.
So the powers of the governor can be great, either for the good or for the bad.
Wow.
Bianco did face some scrutiny. He was a member of the Oath Keepers.
Right.
Now, the article that I was reading about this described Oath Keepers as a far-right anti-government group, which is not necessarily a good description. And they took part in the pro-Trump insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. So the bias is just oozing off of this article.
You mean the FBI-led insurrection?
Exactly, yeah.
And they're called the Oath Keepers.
Yeah.
And okay.
Go figure, right?
Please look at the definition of insurrection and see if that really applies to what happened in Washington, D.C. But anyway, Bianco later said that he had discontinued his membership because, like many other law enforcement officers, he felt the organization did not offer me anything. I think I would have had more respect for him if he'd said, "Go away, I'm a member of Oath Keepers. You are mischaracterizing it. I'm not going to apologize."
And or, you know, because he took an oath.
He took an oath.
Yeah. So is he not keeping his oath? By getting out of the Oath
Keepers. And that one leader in Washington, D.C., they hammered him with some sort of horrendous prison sentence, the head of Oath Keepers, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. Also, Bianco announced that Riverside County deputies will not perform any type of immigration enforcement, saying that fear among local immigrant communities has increased due to raids ordered by the Trump administration. I find that disturbing.
When did you say that?
Earlier this year.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
And again, this is coming from an article that calls the Oath Keepers a far-right, anti-right group who took part in an insurrection.
Okay. But they're being favorable to him. That's interesting. Go ahead.
Well, not necessarily favorable. They're just, this is just a list of candidates.
No. I'm saying that the article sounds like it may have been favorable toward his stance, which we don't agree with, right?
That's and they would try to show any anti-government,
right.
Anything anti-Republican,
right.
In a favorable light.
Right. He must have. I don't know how he didn't know his audience when he was being quoted, but anyway.
Another Democrat, probably you've never heard of him, Ian Calderon. Now, if you were from Southern California,
I have heard of him.
The name Calderon would be extremely familiar to you because he's a political dynasty from Southern California, held power in Sacramento for decades. Mm-hmm. He is a former Assembly Majority Leader. He's a Democrat, lives in Orange County. I don't think he expects to win the governorship, but this is a way to enter his name into statewide politics. One thing about which we can be thankful for Ian, he saved the world because he's the one who authored legislation to prohibit full-service restaurants from handing out plastic straws to customers unless they requested them.
When I was in Sacramento, right after that happened, there was a guy grabbing up and down the street, handing out plastic straws out of his car.
Well, it's kind of ironic. You get a paper or cardboard straw wrapped in plastic, or you get a plastic straw wrapped in paper.
Yeah.
So which way do you want to go?
I was at Safeway in Burnie yesterday, and they said, "Do you want a bag?" And I said, "Yeah, I forgot mine." And they pull out a paper bag.
Yeah.
And I said, "No more plastic?" He said, "No, California changed its mind."
So now they have bales of paper bags in the back.
What was it? We are destroying the forests with our paper bags, so we have to go to plastic. And now I guess we're destroying the environment with plastic, so we have to go back to destroying the forest. I don't know.
Well, the solution is don't get a bag. Just carry your groceries and make trips back and forth to your car.
Oh, I wish that were funny, except at Home Depot, the last three times I have been in there, they have not had bags. And I did have, you know, 9 or 10 little items. Carrying them out in my coat and stuffing them in pockets.
Then you look like you're shoplifting and you got the door.
Yes, remember when
Mama Jay's going to get a mugshot.
Remember when that used to be one of the criteria for shoplifters, if they didn't have their items in a bag.
Right.
Did I just lose my...
You just lost your mic. I think I lost mine, too.
We all lost our noise.
Lost our mics.
Are we still live?
Am I?
We'll just keep on going.
I have no idea what's going on.
I guess we're still... There we go.
There, okay.
Oh, man, it's every week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something every week.
Also, the Calderon family is...
There you go again.
Cutting in and out. The Calderon family is also known because two of Ian's uncles Former State Senator Ronald Calderon and former Assemblyman Tom Calderon served prison time for crimes related to a bribery scheme.
Uh-oh.
But neither Ian nor his father, former Assemblyman and State Senator Charles Calderon, were accused of wrongdoing. So, again, some pink flags. Although, here, this should be the final determining factor. Calderon was a competitive surfer.
Oh.
Yeah. Man.
How does he represent us up here?
Yes, well, there you go.
Well, we do have a caller on the line. Andrew, what say you, sir?
Well, I'm working on my tan right now.
Because you're in Burning, right?
You're in Burning, huh?
Hey, you know, this plastic bag thing, I've never liked those. Now, the newer ones they came out with, the thicker, much more stronger ones, could stuff the blowhole of the whale better than the middle one.
Probably true.
So I'm really glad that we're getting rid of this nonsense. You know, I was in Safeway yesterday, also in Burnie, and I commented that paper bags grow on trees. And the clerks were, what? They didn't quite understand my... But they do. Guess what we get? Oh, also, I guess you can make paper from marijuana.
Hemp. Hemp makes great paper.
Hemp, yeah. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. Anyway, no, this is a fiasco we're looking at. We need to split the state, kids.
Yes, sir.
We do. We need, you know, Terry for governor. This is my opinion.
No, I'm not going to do in there. I'll be on the
floor. They're not down there up here when we split. Anyway, I just had to make fun of these idiots.
Yeah, aren't you enjoying Burnie? Isn't it beautiful up there?
Oh, it's brilliant. I have to put sign. Oh, it hurts my eyes.
No.
Rub it in, buddy. Rub it in.
I worked in the valley all last week, and I couldn't wait to get home to get sunshine. Good night.
Exactly. And there's no wind. It's just beautiful. It's Burnie absolutely
beautiful.
Stunning.
That area up there. I mean, we live in a blessed area. Let's face it. Northern California, Jefferson, well, is gorgeous.
It's beautiful because there's no fog. It's just sunshine, yeah.
Well, and the beauty of the fog even gets tainted a little bit when people are driving with no headlights on.
Yes.
Especially at night. I don't understand how these idiots can think that their automatic lights will turn on in the fog. They do not.
And
they do not.
Automatic lights do not have red lights to the rear.
Right, and they don't have the illumination they should have. It's not full-on headlights. And people need to understand that. And when they buy their cars, they need to test them out. Do it in your garage. Turn your headlight on by the switch and see the difference.
Andrew, are you headed south again today?
Oh, no, not till tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But I want to comment on something else. It is cool. It's brisk. But we don't have a homeless problem up here. Do you want to know why? Anybody guesses? Guesses?
Although,
when it gets 2 in the morning, they don't live here.
I've seen them, though, building their fires under the pine trees, trying to stay warm, which can be a problem in itself.
We see that in the summertime. But usually it's just too flipping cold here. They don't even try. I mean...
Well, I think it was 26 this morning.
Well, my theory is they don't like to walk uphill.
Both ways, right? Both ways.
Well, we see them drop them off in Ready quite regularly in big white buses.
I have seen it. I have personally seen it.
Well, said he's never seen it.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Yes,
he did. When he was interviewed. Oh, I haven't seen that, but how can you not see it? I mean, there's pictures.
But Andrew and I, both from Burnie, we've seen it in Reading.
Yes.
I mean, come on, it's common.
Yes.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Anyway, the way to fix that is reopen the puzzle factories. What I mean by that is
a mental institution. I gotcha.
Bye, gang. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Love you, man. That's funny. He's a funny guy.
Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, you know, thing is that we have to, you know, we've got to bring that. Andrew brings up a great point. I mean, come on, folks. The only way we fix this is with more representation.
And so while we are talking about representation,
let's
talk about one of the candidates who has actually said that is a problem. And that is Cheyenne. And how many of you have heard of him out there in radio land? Probably not too many. And that's a shame because the man does come with some good ideas and something to offer a governor's race in California. He is a pastor from Pasadena. He He says that he is running because he felt a call from God to do that. So you cannot argue with someone who comes at it from a faith-based origin. He says that he wants voters to know that he will be the governor for all Californians if he is elected. He was sued or arrested by the state of California because he refused to close down his church during COVID, and eventually came to an agreement that, well, the state of California said you could open the churches, but you had to limit the number of people allowed in. I hope all of you listening understand that that COVID debacle was a big hoax. It was supra-constitutional. It went beyond anything that the Constitution allows government to do. It should never have happened. And anybody who was involved in that and limited your rights during that period of time should never hold public office again. Mm-hmm. Cheon, he says, once people get to know me, I don't feel I'm political at all. I want you to be political. It's a political game. Mm-hmm. If you're not political, you cannot stand for something. And there are two sides of our political argument here. As far as I'm concerned, one side is mostly right and the other side is mostly wrong. And there is no compromise. Politics means you take a stand. Yeah, you can work across the aisle sometimes, but not when it comes to important matters.
Well, I did. I had a Zoom with him for 2 hours. And we talked about a lot of this stuff with Cheon. And he did serve a year in prison over this, and he stood his ground and was the only, that I know, the only candidate that's running for governor that got invited to the White House.
And he has credibility.
And, well, yes. let me finish my point. The thing is that he is, the one thing is that he's certainly willing to understand that he doesn't understand what his job entails. Whereas you have someone like Bianco or someone like Hilton, we're ready to, Hilton was just, if you watched the debate that he did, with all 15 candidates, Hilton just stood up in front of the stage and did his little dance and, you know, not to say he wouldn't be better than a Democrat. And probably, I heard he's leading in the polls and I heard Bianco saying he's leading in the polls.
It's back
we don't
and
know.
Forth, yeah.
The point is that the one thing about Cheon is that he's willing to learn and to change and to understand. And I think he wants to be very political only because of the fact that he's willing to force the legislative body in any way, shape, or form he can to put that money toward 36. And put that money toward that. That's one of the first things he wants to do. Some of the other things that he wanted to do when he was in Reading here and he spoke to actually a lot of people from the far-right religious community, he spoke, and a lot of the things he talked about, he realizes now that he doesn't have the jurisdiction to do some of those things. They're all things we'd want. I mean, we want to get rid of the homeless. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to see if there are executive powers that the governor could use, like Janet was saying. Did you touch on that on the show yet as far as Article 5, Section 13?
Not yet, but we will when we talk about Steve Hilton.
About Steve Hilton, that's where it is. Okay. So I think the thing we have to look at with the gubernatorial race, you know, there's two things you got to look at. Who's looking to increase representation and who isn't? That's number one. Who is looking to increase representation and who isn't? If you have, and I can just say, because on this Zoom call, we spent an hour out of the 2 hours talking about representation, and his staff gets it, and they're young. Now, I'm not advocating that he's the guy to go there or that he's the guy to beat. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that these are some of the qualities we better be looking for in a governor, and nobody's holding them accountable for any of this stuff or asking them that question.
Well, Cheon has talked about representation and the lack of and the need for
100%
and a state split as a possible solution. So at least he's willing to look at that as a solution.
And we don't know about the other ones because, I haven't talked to him about it.
Two measures of Cheon's policies. He sees the homelessness crisis as public health and safety issue, and it certainly is a public health issue because homelessness is caused by addiction. It's not a lack of houses. You can build all the houses you want and you're still going to have a homeless problem because these people don't want to be in a house that dictates how they live their lives. They are using drugs, they are using alcohol, and that is leading to their homelessness.
I want to make a comment on that you said, Janet, it was spot on. I want to compliment you on this because it was spot on what you saw. And that is, you made the point, and we talked about this last week, you made the point of there aren't a lot of homeless families out there with dad and mom and the kids. There are not a lot of those because dad lost his job. It's because of drugs. I think that's a great point, and I think people need to start realizing that.
It is. If you have a family and dad lost his job and you are down on your luck, there are programs in place. Mm-hmm. There are welfare programs. There are services housing for families. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Unless mom and dad are using drugs and refuse to go into a house because they want to continue to use
there
their drugs and would rather live in their cars. So let's separate homelessness from people not having jobs and people wanting to use drugs.
And people migrating to California for those reasons.
And that's happening. Yeah, oh, the statistics are
there's
horrible.
There's no buses. The sheriff says there's no buses.
Oh, well, he didn't see them. How can you not see them?
Maybe they fly them in.
Yeah. Another thing about Cheon is that he is an immigrant. He is from South Korea, so he understands the problems with immigrants. I am taking this information from an article written by someone else, so I cannot say that this is an exact representation of what he believes, but this is what it said in the article. He says that he wants immigration into the country, obviously. If these people with no criminal record, if they've been working here in California and they self-deport, I want to do everything I can to get them in front of the line, to come back and live the American dream. Okay. But then the next quotation from him is, if they are here illegally, they're out. I'm sorry, they broke the law. I can't compromise on this. Well, they're here illegally. Why should they get to go home and self-deport and then come back to the front of the line?
Mm-hmm.
Either they're here legally or they're not. And if they're not, they've broken the law. Why, you are compromising if you say they get to come back in and go to the front of the line if they self-deport.
That's a good point. You know, when was this article written?
It's recent.
How recent?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because he changed his mind Wednesday.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Oh, published November 24th.
Yeah, so this last Wednesday he changed his mind. And that's some of the issues that we have with a lot of stuff. This being reported, a lot of people are, I mean, some of them like Scott Shields, you know, maybe the ones that aren't prominent like the Hiltons and that. I really want you to talk about Stevie Hilton. Hiltons and, you know, and the Biancos, the guys who are in the forefront on the press, these guys are changing their mind because they're getting tutelage. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to take the tutelage and listen to the tutelage. Then you have the ones that aren't willing to listen to the tutelage, you know, or aren't willing, and I'm not talking about, I mean, Steve Hilton is Steve Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
He's Steve Hilton. Did you know he was Steve Hilton? And he's important. Did you know he was important?
Yes.
Steve Hilton's important. Did you know he was?
Are we going to take a break?
Yes, we need to do that
now. I don't know. Do we?
I don't know.
What do you think? Should we take a break?
You probably should.
Okay.
All right.
I guess we will. The time has come.
For 51.
We're getting it done.
Amen.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac?
The only forecast I care about is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. All while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Shopping Center in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or in Anderson across from the Round Table Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the Friendly Oil Change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. Check out our website at northvalleydistributing.com.
Kick off your Monday with our county's key stories. Tune in to KCNR at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief offers crisp, local-only updates and lively discussions that matter to the community. Have a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at townhallbrief on linktree.com to send a message. The Town Hall Brief, the trusted source for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Manheim.
Steve Miller.
Sally. She loves this song. I remember when that first came out, it'd be full blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the morning, okay, on Christmas morning, Sally would wake up all the kids with a blasting hallelujah chorus. It's like 6 o'clock. What? You know? Kids would all wander out, you know, rubbing their eyes.
Who's killing that cat?
Yeah, who's killing that cat?
Hey, before we go into the next part of the show, I wanted to congratulate Redding Christian High School football players.
Yeah!
They are now the state Division 7A state final football champions, and they went down to Fullerton and played down there, and their final score was 16-0.
That's impossible. So just impossible.
They came from Palisadro, a very small school out there in Palisadro, and they went down and played a much larger school, and they kicked tail, and they were victorious. So
can't you get like a T-shirt or something?
Oh, they, heck,
they have T-shirts. No, they have T-shirts.
I don't know.
Maybe somebody can, if you're listening, call in and let us know, because I think they had the, and I think it goes to the kids and the athletic fund and stuff.
Oh, there you go.
They have a T-shirt of them being champions, which I think is so cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah. Very fun. That's great. I love that. That's great.
So anyway, I just wanted to send out a congratulations to the guys out there, the coaches, the parents, everybody supporting all of them.
Yeah.
And it was great to see that come through.
Yeah.
That was awesome. What a great experience for all of them.
A great experience. I love it. I love it.
Well, let's look at Steve Hilton. He was on Fox News. He had his own show, The Next Revolution, that's what it was. He is a Hungarian immigrant himself. So I find it interesting that at least two of the candidates here are immigrants.
Oh, wait, he's from Hungary?
Yes.
I thought he was from...
No, he moved England? To England and lived there.
Oh, so he migrated from Hungary to England, from England to here.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Oh, well, he is the son of Hungarian immigrants.
Right.
Okay. So maybe he was born in England, but at least from Hungary.
Okay.
Yes, ended up in the United States, ended up in California, running for governor. Now, one of the interesting things about Steve Hilton is that he has said that the governor of California can repeal unconstitutional laws passed by the state legislature, and that is what he would do with the transgender athlete law passed by California.
Would he do the Second Amendment?
No, it's done through the state. So poo-poo.
Because those are unconstitutional.
Yeah. according to the California Constitution, Article 5, Section 1, says that the supreme executive power of this state is vested in the governor, and the governor shall see that the law is faithfully executed. Now, if it's not constitutional, it's not law.
Mm-hmm.
It may be legal because it went through the legislative process, but it's not lawful because it's not constitutional. And that means constitutional either federally or state. So what happens if the governor says that a law is unconstitutional? What does he do? Well, he can sue the state. And who would sue the state? That would be the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Section 13 of Article 5...
Right.
It says that the Attorney General is subject to the powers and duties of the governor. So the governor, with his power over the Attorney General, can tell the Attorney General to sue the state of California over an unconstitutional law.
Okay, well, tell me because the law that you're talking about, I don't have the list with me. I know which one you're talking about. There was one that was passed, first of all, in 2013 it was passed.
Yeah, he's talking about...
what's his argument?
I don't know. I'm not.
See,
I don't want to get in the weeds on that right now.
Well, it's not weeds. So he has to have an argument on.
Well, I'm just talking about a possible way that a governor can have control over what happens in the state.
Only if it's constitutionally proven.
Exactly.
But there's nothing that's either constitutional or unconstitutional about that, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about that. There's nothing in the Constitution of the United States that talks about schools.
Well, this one is particularly. California, Trump's executive order requiring transgender athletes to play on teams based on sex and not gender identity. And several candidates for California governor said they want to repeal that law or other state law.
Repeal it, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, I guess the question is, again, because you're going back to the jurisdiction of the governor. The jurisdiction of the governor, how does that equivocate even to an executive order that the president gives? Because the executive order could be unconstitutional, which means the states wouldn't have to follow it. Like if he said, okay, it's okay to make sure that you don't have that black people can't vote, or that white people can't vote. Okay, that's unconstitutional. But again, I mean, we want to do that. The only way you can overturn a law that I know of is with a referendum, a vote of the people. You can overturn it with Article 18, Section 3. If you amend the Constitution of California with Article 18, Section 3, because the electorate on an initiative, the people, can go ahead and overturn that. But I'm just saying that I agree with them. I'd love to see them do it. But where does he get what? It
okay,
sounds good.
Here is an example.
Okay.
When Jerry Brown was Attorney General and Kamala Harris after him, both refused to defend California Prop 8, the same-sex marriage ban that the people passed. And they refused to defend that. They refused to put that into power. And in that case, someone else sued the state to overturn that state law.
So let me get this straight, just so I get it straight, because what you're
saying... I'm not in a position to defend it in great detail.
No.
I'm just saying that this is one of the things that Steve Hilton is saying a governor can use, is his power over the attorney general to sue over some unconstitutional law. And that's as deeply as I wish to go, because he does have that power of the governor. And if the attorney general says, no, I'm not going to do that, then the governor can hire outside counsel. So it is a power that the governor does have, that the AG can't prevent the governor from suing his own agencies to overturn state law that is believed to be unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And I will leave that to the legal experts. I'm just bringing it up as something that Steve Hilton has said he would use. So I'll leave it to Steve Hilton. I do want to get to Katie Porter.
Oh, yes.
Because she's my favorite because she's a woman. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Define woman. I don't know.
I thought it was a matter of choice.
Oh, she is. I self-identify as someone who's not sure what Katie Porter really is.
Hmm.
She was a member of the House of Representatives from Orange County. She was a law professor at UC Irvine. She ran for U.S. Senate, lost in 2024. She's a single mother and has three children, and she's single because she beat up her husband and he divorced her.
He was just paying her back.
There is one good thing about her. She wanted to have a bill to ban members of Congress from trading individual stocks, and Pelosi didn't think too much of that idea.
Andrew just called back, and he wants you for president or governor.
Oh, God.
He wants Janet for governor, right?
Yeah.
Janet.
Yeah.
The woman you were talking about earlier, the nutcase.
Katie Porter.
Have you seen her videos?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. She's
vile.
Phew.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
You know, there is an interesting one, and he is, I think, now a Republican. His name is John Slavitt. He was a longtime Democrat, but registered as a Republican in recent years, echoing Ronald Reagan's argument that he didn't leave the Democratic Party, the party left him. He is a Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur. He's a multimillionaire, lived in California for three decades, has a wife and five children. He said voters' November passage of Prop 50 was the Democrats trying to take over the state, and he opposed the ballot measure. And he has business experience, so it would give him an edge on solving the state problems. Can't argue with that.
Nope.
Right.
And again, I don't think he expects to win the governorship, but he's getting his name out there, as so many people are this time around.
Well, and they get money, they get funded monies that they put in their campaigns, and then they hold on to that, and they can use it for future campaigns, depending on the state law and requirements, or they just use them however they want, and then they end up having, if they're on the Democrat side, they end up having issues with that later.
Yeah, campaign irregularities.
Yes, irregularities, yes.
And then we have Tom Steyer, a Democrat, billionaire hedge fund manager, environmental and political activist. He ran for president in 2020 and didn't get too far. Backed Prop 50. Yes, he liked that one.
Of course.
One of his policies is that he would build 1 million homes in 4 years, lower energy costs by ending monopolies, make preschool and community college free, and ban corporate contributions to political action committees in California elections.
So where's he going to build these 1 million homes?
They can't even rebuild burn houses in Palisades.
Right.
The state of California permitting process won't allow a million homes.
Well, on what land?
Here in Shasta County and Butte County, same issues.
Yeah.
So how are they going to build a million homes, or however many, and they can't even do it here in two small counties, populated counties.
He's going to lower energy costs by ending monopolies. You lower energy costs by drill, baby, drill, and using the natural gas already in California.
And quit siphoning off the tax dollars that are paid into each tank or a gallon of gas to go to God knows what.
Well, a lot of it goes to the roads. You have it go to the schools. It's just like we were talking about. I mean, can you imagine? See, here's the whole thing about, and I just want to bring this up, and we'll get back to this, but, you know, the people, you folks out there that are parents, are you okay with Johnny taking a shower with your daughter? Are you okay with that? Because that's where the real rub is. I mean, the governor, whether he wants to fix it or not, you need to fix it. You need to get into those schools and say, wait a second here. How about these teachers or these people that are running these schools that are allowing that to happen are subject to the law? Because what they're doing is encouraging illicit situations with the kids.
Right. Right.
Huh? Do you realize that law is only down to 5 years old, Janet? 5 years old.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I applaud what Hilton wants to do. He doesn't have the jurisdiction to do it. The problem is we always say we're the people. Parents, you've got the jurisdiction to do it. Parents, you got the jurisdiction to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have the jurisdiction. You can't have the governor or a senator or you've got to solve your own problem. Our school systems suck. We need to get rid of them. You need to pull them out of school, or you need to go over and take over the school. And you have to do it now. Tomorrow's Monday.
They have to go to school boards.
How can you expect parents to make those voting decisions when people continue to reelect Eric Swalwell?
Exactly.
Right, right.
And now he's running for governor. A member of the House of Representatives. Absolute trash when it comes to morals and ethics.
Mm-hmm.
He has a wife and three children, and yet Fang Fang, was that his Chinese mistress?
Yep. Girlfriend, yep.
Believed to be a Chinese spy. Well, of course she was.
Yep.
Yeah. But he was never accused of impropriety.
Yeah.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
I mean, it's ethics when you're not, when you're cheating on your wife. It's morals. But when you are consorting with a Chinese spy and you are a member of Congress, then it becomes more than morals and ethics. It becomes criminality.
Yes.
There is one thing that he has said that just absolutely raised my ire, because I have a vested interest in this. He said that he would seek to encourage seniors to downsize.
Downsize.
I guess that we old people are just using too many resources.
So you need to move to a smaller home? Is that what
you're saying? Smaller home, I guess.
Even though your home is paid for and well taken care of.
No, you need it maybe
home.
To your own room.
I'm using way too much in the way of resources.
But you're paying for it.
Well, because the young people need homes. So we seniors, I don't know, a tent in the backyard, is that what he has in mind? That is such an insane statement. Is he going to make that same statement when I'm 64?
Yeah.
You know, it's... And he wants to modernize state government by eliminating the need to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles in person for certain appointments. Well, that's fine if you can get them on the phone or go online. I mean, these old people who are supposed to downsize don't know how to use computers either, I suppose.
Gee.
He is also advocating voting by phone.
Oh.
What could go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they have these television shows where you're supposed to call in and cast your vote.
Yeah.
And how many people vote more than once?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And he wants incentives to get the television and film industry to return to the state. Hey, Eric, the film industry is dead. It is on life support. Why should it return to the state? It can't crawl across a state line anymore.
Yeah.
Have you been to the theaters recently?
Look what's being played at the theaters.
Nothing that I care to spend money on.
Oh, my gosh. You look at it and you think, holy smoke.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
How could I ever take my granddaughter to a movie to enjoy the movie? I won't. Not at any of those.
Well, what is that movie with Ariana Grande?
Oz, yeah.
No.
It's the spinoff of The Wizard of Oz, yes.
Whatever it's called.
Wicked.
Yeah.
I guess there's Wicked 2 now.
In the title.
I would take my children to see those two weirdos.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No. Then we have Tony Thurmond, who is currently California Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Oh, so absolutely not then.
And he opposed... He opposed the policy to inform parents about student gender identity.
Well, we also go back to the kids.
He is against it. He was kicked out of a Chino Valley Unified School District board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, double whammy for those first two things you read. There's no way.
And here's another reason to oppose him. He is strongly supported by the California Teachers Association.
Third. There's three right
again,
there.
We're going back
three strikes are out, buddy.
I guess next week you better talk about the kids. Huh?
He has vowed to tackle California's economic inequality. He wants a higher minimum wage, higher pay for teachers, and more affordable housing.
Wow.
Socialism.
Yep. And he has been criticized for his handling of schools during the COVID-19 pandemic. No kidding. Antonio Villaraigosa looks absolutely moderate compared to some of these others. He is Los Angeles mayor, was Los Angeles mayor. He increased the LAPD to 10,000 officers, so he is strongly supportive of law enforcement. He served in the state assembly. He has been in politics for a long time. He is 72 years old. Certainly not a downside as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a child.
He could be your little brother.
Yes, little, younger.
Younger brother.
And he's an old Democrat is what it sounds like to me.
Hmm.
He tangled with the unions when he was in City Hall. He tried to keep costs down, although there was a sales tax increase that helped construct rail lines in Southern California. He criticized teachers' unions during his failed efforts to take control of L.A. schools, describing the union as an unwavering roadblock to reform. It just sounds like an old moderate Democrat who wants to get things done, going back to the days of Pat Brown.
What does he do now, Janet? Is he in the political world right now?
I don't think he is.
Is he in the assembly or anything? Because I wonder if he wanted 10,000 new policemen.
Well, that's when he was mayor.
Of L.A.
When he was mayor of L.A., he did he increased the force to 10,000.
Yeah, and then the legislative body makes it so that the new 10,000 can't do anything anyway because all the laws are being passed are too lenient, and the police officers don't have any control over what goes on. They arrest somebody and they're out of jail in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, here, he ran unsuccessfully for governor in 2018 and has been out of public office since 2013.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So there it is.
There you have it, yeah.
Then we have Betty Yee, who is the California controller. Same old, same old. Democrat thinking this is my chance. She says she has financial background and budget experience that would make her a great governor. That may be, but you know, what do you have? What do you bring to the table, Betty?
Mm-hmm. Any of them?
There's. I don't think this person. These people have not declared, but might. Rick Caruso, Los Angeles developer, he is a Democrat, but he just shot holy heck at the leadership of L.A. after the fires because of their ineptitude and incompetence and criminality, actually, is what it boiled down to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of all the Democrats, if he ran, I think I'd vote for him.
Mm.
Not that I intend to vote for a Democrat, but of all the Democrats. Lanny Chen, Stanford University professor. Oh, here it is, folks. No matter which side of the gender aisle you are on, you can vote for this candidate, Caitlyn Jenner.
we got a chuckle out of our producer.
It is running.
It is running.
It is. It can swim. It's a good swimmer.
Good runner.
You know, there was a quotation from it at one time after it had had its surgery. It looked into the mirror and said, "What have I done?" Well, yeah.
Yeah, really.
This comes as a shock to you? I don't.
Why don't you think this forward? Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
What have I done?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got about 2 minutes here. And
I want to look at one aspect of the gubernatorial election, and that is what happens with all of these candidates. We have... 30 people out there running. It is a free-for-all election in June, top two. And they are looking, the pundits are looking at the possibilities that out of all the Democrats who are running, it could split the Democrat vote. And maybe in the Republicans, it would just be between two or three. It is within the realm of possibility, statistically possible, that we could have the top two be both Republicans.
Yeah.
So the Democrats are looking at this and thinking, oh, no, what have we done?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Keep all those Democrats in there and just whittle down our Republican field a little bit and we'll call it good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it'd be nice if they would, if they get the backing, you know, if with all the influence that the Republican candidates have just in their own sphere of influence. Wouldn't it be nice if they would back just two guys?
Yes.
I mean, that would be the main thing. I mean, the Democrats might be smart enough to do that. But I know as of about a week ago, all the Republicans that are running think it's too soon to even try something like that. They still think that they've got a shot. And I mean, you know, again, I think you're right, Janet. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. In fact, I think that probably is very feasible that we get two Republicans.
Well, the problem for the Democrats right now is that they have no one strong leader. They have a lot of people who are known, but if Kamala Harris had run, oh, thank God, she did not. But she would have been the lightning rod. People would have voted for her simply on name recognition. But there is not that issue for Democrats right now.
That's a great point. And with that great point, and you're right, thank you so much, Janet, for all that research, great stuff, folks. I think maybe next week we might want to talk about the kids a little bit. And I know Janet was a teacher. She certainly has firsthand experience on that. And, and so.
And refused to join the teachers union.
And she did. Did you hear that, folks? Maybe you're right, buddy. Janet for governor. Mama J for governor.
Make it happen.
Yeah. Governor of Jefferson. Yeah. Because time has come.
For 51.
And we're getting.